I cannot be around them if they're eating suckers. Like when they bite into it and the chomping or gum and the smacking, it doesn't matter who it is. I cannot be around those certain sounds.
Welcome back to Other People's Lives. I'm Joe Santagato.
I'm Greg Dybeck.
For anyone out there that would like to be a guest on our show, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Our email is oplpodcast@gmail.com. Just send us an email and we'll get back to you.
Today, we're speaking with a woman who reached out about a topic, misophonia. You guys may not have heard this term before. Maybe you have. The definition is people with misophonia are affected emotionally by common sounds, usually those made by others, and usually ones that other people don't pay attention to. So we're talking about things like chewing, breathing, yawning, sounds that for some people with misophonia, it triggers an intense rage and this kind of fight or flight feeling. I'm speaking from experience because I for sure have this, and I think Joe does too. We're going to get to the bottom of it. But you listening may also have this. Maybe you just didn't know the name for it. So we're going to dive into this, learn more about it. We've got the guests on the line. Thank you so much for being on today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
So that was sort of like a textbook definition from Harvard Health, actually. But in your own words, can you just describe misophonia and how it affects you?
In my own words, I call it everyday torture. Like you said, the rage, like for me, it's instant rage. And normally I'm a very easygoing person. So to experience that, and then to know that not everybody does, it's quite difficult.
So, in your experience, like which kind of sounds are super triggering to you? And can you also kind of explain this, like rage, like what, like level of angry does it sort of make you? Is it just a little bit annoying or it's like you are just furious and you need to leave?
I am furious and need to leave. It's the fight or flight. Even with my own children, like it doesn't matter who it is. The sounds that trigger me the most are like typing, snoring, definitely chewing with your mouth open. Like a clock ticking, just, it's like a pattern type sound. So something that keeps repeating and repeating.
So I've brought this up to some people because like I said, I do feel this. I don't think to the extent that you do, which we'll get into, but chewing specifically and like even with like loved ones and people that I want to be around, if there's a certain sound, a chewing or, you know, breathing, if I'm sleeping next to someone, it really does make me angry. And it's like an anger that just feels like it comes out of nowhere. And I've brought this up to people before, and a lot of people are either like, what are you talking about? That's so strange. Or like, oh my God, there's a name for that. I definitely have that. So it's really just interesting that a lot of people listening may be finding out that they do have this. But for you, and your email really stuck out because you mentioned like, you limit what your kids can eat around you. Like it feels like this rage that you're feeling is kind of uncontrollable to the point that you actually do have to remove yourself from a situation or kind of just be in complete control of your environment and the sounds. So can you just talk a little bit more about that? Like what is sort of an example of you experiencing this maybe with like your kids around that and what is your reaction to that?
Okay. So like I do limit what they eat and that sounds like totally controlling, but it's for their benefit and mine. And although I would never act on, you know, aggression, it is the immediate feeling that like, I've either got to separate myself from this or you have got to stop because it just, like you said, comes on so quickly and it's so intense. So like, there's nothing, no other experience that I've actually felt this way in my life. So, it's very confusing, I guess, too, but like suckers, I'll buy them candy, believe me, they're spoiled, but I cannot be around them if they're eating suckers. Like when they bite into it and the chomping or gum and the smacking. And then even with like my own children, like you said, I obviously have an immense amount of love for them, but I cannot, it doesn't matter who it is. I cannot be around those certain sounds. And I remember my mother, when my oldest daughter was like 2 years old, saying, but she's only two. How does that bother you? And I'm like, I can't explain it, but it does. And I can't help it. It doesn't matter who it is.
So what would happen hypothetically if you're at a restaurant and, or is that something that you try to avoid also? I mean, this is a place where everyone's eating and, you know, some restaurants are louder than others, but some are quiet. And I guess you can overhear conversation. So I assume you can overhear eating. Is that something you try to avoid? And if you were in that sort of situation, like what would be the protocol there?
No, I don't necessarily avoid that. I think because there's so much other stimulus coming in that it's like, I can't focus on that quite as much. But if I do see someone like making the movements of their mouth open, you know, then that'll set me off too.
You just want to stick a fork in their neck or something?
Well, yes. I mean, I do. Yes, I really want to do that. However, I have morals and know that, you know, that's not right, which is why it's so conflicting because, like, you know that you should not be getting this upset about these sounds, but you do. And then if people, like, a lot of people don't understand that. They think it's just annoying you know? But for me, it is not just annoying. It's like literally like life or death is how it feels in my body. Like, gotta go or you gotta go.
Wow. That's really intense. I think what's hard about this too, and correct me if I'm wrong, when I first started realizing this about myself and kind of looking it up and learning that word, this isn't like a diagnosable disorder, or has that changed? Do you kind of just have to self-diagnose? And I guess, you know, enough people kind of experience this, that this word for it was created.
Yes. It's not in the DSM. So they can't actually diagnose that. And then I feel like even the doctors that I have told, like, still don't quite understand it. So that makes it a little more difficult. And then I feel like, thank goodness my mother, like, really understands it. But a lot of people, like, think I'm over-exaggerating, so to say. Mm-hmm. And you can't explain that to them. Like, I'm not exaggerating. This is really affecting me. So it is on its way to hopefully being, you know, a diagnosable condition. But as for now, like, the research is fairly new. And I was about 12 when I started to experience or, like, notice that I was experiencing these symptoms. But it wasn't until I was probably early 20s that there was a name for it. And then I realized I wasn't crazy, that other people deal with this too. And it wasn't just me. So that was kind of a relief. But for years, I felt like I was just a nutball.
And has, like, first, like, when did you start to notice this? And has it gotten worse or better in your experience as you get older?
So I want to say around the age 12 is when I remember it affecting me. My mom worked on a computer all day long. So I would call her to talk to her and I would not be able to talk to her. I'd get so angry because she'd be typing. So even then, you know, it was like, why am I getting so mad? And then, bless her heart, she would stop her work just to listen to what I had to say. But so, yeah, it was about 12 and I have not noticed it getting any better. Like, it just affects me. It hasn't gotten any better.
So, okay. So it sounds like there's nothing you've come across, in that moment of feeling that rage to be able to calm it down.
Well, what I do is if I'm eating with my family, if I need to, I'll put earbuds in. You know, I prefer to eat alone because I also, here's the thing, I feel like a hypocrite because if I'm eating and I can hear, you know, hear myself eating, that doesn't bother me. Or if I'm the one typing, that does not bother me. But if it's somebody else doing it, I cannot handle it. So when it comes to, like, dinners, I'll try to separate myself if possible. When it comes to, like I say, the candy, if we're in the car with the kids and they want it right now, then I'll crank the music or put my earbuds in. But there's certain situations that you just cannot get away from, which one of those for me was ninth grade infotech, like, computer class. And I didn't get probably more than half my work done because I was too busy staring at the people's heads with this, like, mean mug on my face. Not that they knew I was doing it, but it was like torture is what that's the only way I can describe it. Straight torture.
Wow. I hope they do more research for this because it's more intense than I realized. Like I said, I've definitely experienced these symptoms, but it's nothing that has, I've had to, like, change my day to day or anything. It's just annoying. But for you, all these things you're naming, it seems like it's really affecting your everyday life. And it's hard. Cause like you said, you tell someone and it's like, what? That's technically not a real thing. And, like, you're just exaggerating or you're just, I don't know, just don't be so like fragile or things that people would say.
Yes. That, I mean, that's exactly how I feel, because most people don't understand that. Like, yeah, they get annoyed or like nails on a chalkboard. That sound is, you know, cringe worthy, but it's, yeah, it is way, way beyond that. And it's very difficult, and there's not enough research or treatment as of right now that, yeah, I kind of have to self, I don't want to say medicate, but, you know, find ways to live my everyday life. And there's certain situations that I've been in where I couldn't get away from that. And that was awful. I mean, and I don't know how else to describe it. It's awful.
Is your response to these sounds immediate? Like if you hear just a typing, like one click already, is that setting you off? Or is it, it has to be for like a little bit and then it starts to bother you?
No. So like most of the typical sounds, I guess, are instant. Like I hear the first crunch of a sucker or the first key on a keyboard and it's instant rage. Like, I wish I could describe that better, because like I said, I've never had any other experience. I've been upset, of course, in my life, but never the intensity of where it's like my whole insides are just ready to go. But there are certain things, like actually last night, my mother's dog was chewing on a bone. So I was able to tolerate that for about a minute, maybe. And then I was like, all right, like I got to get up, go away. You know, I can't. So it's not, most of it's instantly, but there are some sounds I will find once they keep repeating themselves. Now I'm hating it.
And is there like a list of sounds that you could kind of pinpoint, or do you just find out like every day more things are sort of triggering this response?
I can pinpoint definitely probably quite a few actually, but like snoring is a huge one. And I just, the hardest part about that is like, I know people can't help when they're snoring, and I do it myself. Mm-hmm. So snoring's a huge one. I say this jokingly, but I do not know how I've made it this far in my life without murdering someone. Mm-hmm. That's a little extreme, but
well, does that affect snoring, relationships? Because like snoring, certain breathing, like has that affected relationships that you've been in or that you are in?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because like I said, you can't hate someone. Not that I hate anyone, but you can't be disappointed or angry with someone for snoring when that's something they can't control. So a lot of times I separate myself in that aspect too. So I will sleep in a different room. I will elbow the shit out of somebody to get them to roll over and stop snoring. So if I could fall asleep first, you know, that'd be great and stay asleep, but it generally doesn't work like that. And then I also already am like, so ready for these sounds all the time. So like always on my toes. Mm-hmm. So even before the sounds are happening, I'm still experiencing this like alertness to beware. And it's pretty difficult.
No, it really does sound it. I'm curious in your expert opinion. I've been trying to get to the bottom of something. Do you think this would classify? So here in the studio, we have an AC that's very loud. And if I'm having a conversation with Joe and that AC is on, like a minute into that conversation, and you can attest to this, like I've seen you it's like that type of rage. He's like, I can't talk while this thing's on. And then has to run and shut it off. And I always tell him, I'm like, you might have misophonia. That seems like a sort of an instant trigger for you.
Yes, there is, like, through my research, and then also I've got three children, but my middle daughter, like when we're in the car, she doesn't want the music on. And I'm like, if you're eating candy, the music's going to be on, you know, but she doesn't like the level of volume, I guess, even if it's not loud. She does not like the sound of the car itself running. And then there, like if her sister starts screaming, she, you know, gets disappointed about that. So through my research with this, I found out that there's another sound thing, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's, I want to say, hyperacusis maybe. And so that's where like it affects you and you're fearful, but you're not as like enraged, but it is also like, I don't even want to say high volume things, cause it's not necessarily high volume things, but so I don't know if that's what it would be for Joe or not.
It turns him very mean and angry.
Well, all right, relax. But I think it's more of like a combination of things. Like I'm okay with the sound of it, But then if you're trying to talk to me while it's on, now it's like there's two things going on at once. And it's the same thing of like, if someone's watching TV, but someone else is watching something on their phone and it's like loud and I can hear that now, like now both of these things are bothering me. It's the same thing. Or you put on music and sometimes it's too loud and we have to talk louder in order to have, and I'm like, I can't fucking do this. Like that drives me insane. Yeah. It's like the combination of two sounds. Like I can do these things like separately, but once we start like, why are we talking over this AC? Why are we talking over this music? Like shut one of these off. Like, you know?
So it's like the overstimulation, and I have three children, like 9, 6, and 3, all girls. So I get that too, because they'll go with their dad sometimes. So then I'll get them all back at once. And it is just like so much different input coming in at once that I can't like sort it out. But then you said something about the air conditioner. So like when I sleep, I have got to have a fan on. That fan doesn't bother me. I've slept with a fan my whole life, and maybe that's why I want a fan on now. But white noise, you know, a lot of times we'll just try to listen to meditation whenever I can, if I'm starting to get stressed, just to block out the outside world. But
yeah, that's,
I do get the, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, that's the thing. Like, it's not just sounds in general. It's so weird how it could be some specific things, but I'm the same way. Like falling asleep is hard sometimes. So I prefer white noise, or I prefer a fan on. You think it would be the opposite, but it actually helps. It's almost when it's too quiet and then you can sort of pinpoint very little sounds that you feel that rage.
Yeah. And then one of the biggest things for me, even my mom, like I said, she's super understanding now, but you know, when I first started to realize I had this, she would say, well, just ignore it. What, just try to ignore it. And that is like almost super offensive, because if I could, believe me, I would definitely ignore the shit, but I can't. I'm like sensitive to that. So, and like I said, I'm already on guard, like expecting these sounds. So I'm already working myself up usually before they even happen. And I don't know how to get out of that.
Yeah. It's similar to people who are dealing with depression, and people are like, ah, oh, just be happy. And you're like, fucking, yeah, I wish.
Yeah. An invisible illness. Like you can't see what this person's going through. And if you've never experienced it, then it's hard to comprehend it. And it's hard to, you know, I guess have empathy for other people, which sucks. But
yeah,
this is, it's weird. I hope we'll look back in like 15, 20 years at this episode and it'll be like a really common diagnosed thing. Right. Like it feels like it might be, but now it's just weird. It's just this gray area. It's just, there's people out there who speak up about it, say they have it, but then it's hard to back that up with any evidence. There's no research. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. It's super difficult, because like I said, if I could ignore the stuff, if I wish everything, you know, on everything that I did not deal with this. And then to try to tell people, I felt a lot of times like I'm just over exaggerating, like, you know, and they think it's bullshit, but it's not. It's like an immediate, you know, mental, emotional, and physical feeling. And without somebody experiencing it, it's, I'm sure, hard for them to understand.
Has any sound bothered you at one point and then it didn't eventually?
Ooh.
I have not found that to be true. No. I wish I could say, yeah, this used to bother me. Now I notice that it doesn't, but no, whatever I can remember bothering me when I first started to notice this is still happening, maybe even more intensely. It's just the instant uncomfortable feeling that is hard to, convey, I guess.
They don't go away. You just keep collecting new ones, I guess. But have you actually ever murdered anyone who was chewing too loud? You are anonymous, so you can tell us.
Oh my gosh, no.
But you've come close.
Unfortunately, and I'm not even a criminal, but I have been to jail once. And in that situation, like I even was in the trustee position. So, you know, we had a little more leniency, and which was so cool when you're in there. That's like something to be hopeful about. But I literally could not sleep in this tiny room with the five other girls I worked with because of their snoring. And they don't give you sleep meds. They don't give you half the shit that you need when you're in there. And so I had begged one of the guards. I said, can you please call the front desk and ask them to put me in booking? I know that sounds like special treatment, but all I want is a good night's rest so I can get up and do the job that I've been, you know, allowed to do peacefully. And when she called the front desk, the sergeant said, "Hell no, we can't do that. Tell her to go back to the pod if she wants that." Jeez. And it like kind of broke my heart. I understand jail's a lot different, but like that's one of the situations I was talking about not being able to get away from. Mm-hmm. And it's mentally excruciating, and you can't, like, because it's not diagnosed, they don't give a shit, you know? So it's rough.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I'm glad I asked that question. Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, to wrap this up, one of the reasons why we want to do this episode. So we say all the time when we have, episodes that, you know, have to do with domestic violence or assault, like we get so many emails and it's just, it's crazy to see how many people are going through that. I would say like second on the list for emails we get is people writing in about misophonia. And then I think your email was, you know, showed how intensely this affects your life. So it's interesting. It's something where I would say almost like once a week we get an email about this. So I think there's a lot of people, like I said in the beginning, listening, who this does affect them. They're probably going through something similar, or people listening who just never heard the term for this and it'll kind of open their eyes to it. And then people who are going to be like, what the hell? This is crazy. Like, I don't even know if this exists. So it's just really interesting to talk about. And we appreciate you, you know, sharing how this affects you.
Yeah, I appreciate it as well. Definitely getting the word out there for those who don't know. You know, they know something's wrong, but I don't have a name for it. I am grateful that I was able to find a name for it, but the research is still, you know, not quite where it needs to be, but we'll get there hopefully.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, you hope that like as there's more information and education on it, that people can be a little more empathetic to it. So it's not just like, all right, you're overreacting. Like you could feel validated and like I am legit suffering from something. And it's hard to explain to people who have no understanding of that whatsoever. So hopefully, you know, people will know a little bit more now. So if they do hear that someone has misophonia, they'll have some more information on it. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time today.
Yep. I appreciate it, you guys.
All right. Have a great day.
Have a good one.
Thanks. You too.
I feel like we're part of a community now.
Yeah, I feel like I might. Again, it's not sounds. It's combinations of
the
sounds.
Competing sounds.
For me, that makes sense. Yeah. The competing sound, like it drives me crazy. That's why I don't love jazz music. Because it's like there's a lot of different instruments and it's less melodic.
Interesting.
It's like it's more of like a car
crash.
It's like
beautiful chaos.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I can have an appreciation for, but I don't really like listening to it because it's like it feels messy in my head with like the sounds. The combination of sounds is like where I'm like, I can't do this shit.
Yeah.
Like when, you know.
But you can understand that feeling of like rage. We keep saying rage and being triggered, like that's the best term for it, where it kind of just builds up to this point and it's like I can't ignore this anymore. I have to get out of here or I have to like kill whoever's making this noise.
I think the difference is like she just has a shorter fuse than most people who probably deal with this in some sort of way, because like when we sit in that office and you're talking to me and the music's playing at a volume that I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like in my head, I'm like, this is a ridiculous volume. Like I can't understand
see how
why
mad he's getting,
like, I can't understand why you want to talk over music right now. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. So like I'm sitting there and I can say something and be like, can you just turn the music down or just turn it off? But if like I was either unable to say that or you're like, I'm not going to do that, and I had to sit there for another hour, like that might result in me just like picking up the computer and smashing it. Right, it's like, right. I can't fucking, I'm not going to talk to you. Yeah. Like, you know, like that will just drive me crazy. And I think that people have those things when it comes to sounds and stuff, but they just have a longer fuse. Her seems to be immediate.
Yeah. This is really, really affecting, you know, her day to day. And, you know, I think she has it sort of figured out and she's communicating this with her family, but it does change the dynamic in the sense of like certain foods or, you know, sleeping in a different bed and things like that. But I get it, man. It's interesting because I like background noise. Clearly, I always put the music on when we talk. But man, if I hear like my wife's jaw click when she's chewing, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna throw you out the window.
Really?
It's like, yeah, it's crazy.
I also like background music, but if I'm doing background music, there can't be words.
Okay.
I don't want to hear fucking people talking and shit and like whatever. honestly, I'm like that even when I'm like exercising or I'm on a run or something. Eventually, I just turn the music off. Like when I'm in the gym, 90% of the time, I'm not listening to music the entire time. It's when I first get there and eventually I shut it off and I don't even realize I'm doing that. And then as I'm leaving, I'm like, oh, I'm not listening to music.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
It's weird. And I don't know, maybe we've completely missed the mark on this, but we think, like I said, from the emails we get, conversations we've had, we think a lot of people have these triggers to sound. So let us know in the comments, like what your sound triggers are, how this affects you, how long or short your fuse is. I think it'll be really interesting for people to kind of share, you know, how they feel about this and how it affects them. We're like basically like we're leading this revolution to get misophonia.
More education.
Like out there. Yeah.
More awareness. Yeah, for anyone out there that would like to be a guest on our show, hit us up. Our email is oplpodcast.com. No, oplpodcast. Wait, what? Why do I do this every single time? Our email is oplpodcast@gmail.com.
That's it. Yeah.
What is wrong with me? But yeah, hit us up and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, follow us on TikTok, Instagram, at oplpodcast, and you can support at patreon.com/oplshow. And that is all for this week.
See you guys next time.